Proverbs chapter 1. Title of the message tonight, Our Great Need for Wisdom. Proverbs is part of the wisdom literature, poetical books, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Those are considered the poetical books, the wisdom books. This one is just Proverbs is great. I want you to make sure you know this. What is a proverb? It's not a promise. It's a general truth. And you follow this instruction and you will benefit. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. Let's read. I think I can read this. And really, there's kind of three sections in this. There's the importance of wisdom and instruction. There is wisdom. The first piece of instruction that you'll see as we get into Proverbs 1 is it matters who you hang around. It matters who your friends are, because that's who you'll follow. It's so amazing that it's the first warning. So the need for instruction, rejecting the call to sin. It's the, maybe there's four sections, the abundant availability of wisdom. It's, God doesn't make it difficult. You can get wisdom if you want it. And then the consequences of not listening and not heeding wisdom. And once you get to the consequences, it's too late to reverse them. But there's still hope, so you know what you do. You can't change yesterday, so do what's right today. But it's a great instruction for us. And so most of these Proverbs are written by Solomon. So you're going to see this, and don't just relax, take a chill pill. It is, he's writing to his son. So you'll see he's instructing his son. But it's wisdom that applies to all of us. And sometimes you'll say, wow, that might apply more to men than women, but generally speaking, it applies to all of us. So that's when you'll see this, is when he's writing to his son. Now here's the fascinating thing about Solomon. Solomon, I won't take you back there because I think many of you know him. I wish maybe I had planned on that, but I didn't. To take you back to where Solomon, at the dedication of the temple, he was praying to God, and God came to him in a vision, in a dream, and said, Solomon, what do you want? Kind of like what we all wish, you know, a little genie in the bottle. Whatever you want, you get. And Solomon said, oh God, give me wisdom so I can judge this so great a people that are yours. And God said, boy, I like that. You didn't ask for something for you. And he said, Solomon, because of that, you're going to be the wisest man ever. I'm going to give you riches and fame. You didn't ask for that, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Solomon's the wisest man ever to live. And he didn't listen to his own advice at the end. You see, you can have wisdom today, and you don't listen to God tomorrow, it ain't going to go well. It may take 10 years, 20 years. Because what the Bible says, it's so sad that Solomon, he had a lot of wives, and was it 700 wives, 300 concubines? Do I have that right? Because sometimes I reverse it. But 700 wives, 300 concubines. That was 699 too many wives. But a lot of it was strategic political alliances, and it was even worse than that he had all those wives, but it was he didn't trust God, and he said, you know what? I'm not the warrior that my father David was. And so I got it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not the warrior, so I'm going to marry her 699 times. And so that they won't attack me because they don't want to, Papa doesn't want to kill his daughter. And the Bible says that his wives, they brought their gods, false gods, little g. And you know this, I tell you this all the time, the most powerful creatures on earth are women. Oh, not physically. But women move a nation. Women move a man. That's why men, make sure you get a good one. She'll move you, make sure she's moving you to the right place. Right? I'm super blessed. I don't wear the pants in my family. Just, she so hates that when I say that. She's just sitting there innocently, and I'm like, I'm going to get you in here in Proverbs. But just kidding. I love my wife. I had no idea the blessing that she was. And she needs to be a bulldog in the sense of two rams married, right? And it wasn't that opposites attracted in that sense. We're both like, you know, sometimes we're, you know, I'm not doing that. But I needed a strong woman. If I had a soft woman, I would have run her over. And I love my wife. She's strong and gentle. She doesn't nag me. Best thing ever happened to me outside of Christ. I tell people, if there's anything good in me, it's Christ, it's God. Everything good comes from God. It's my wife and it's my parents. It's not me. I've never done anything right for the right reason. But 700 wives, 300 concubines, and the Bible says his wives turned his heart from God in his old age. One of the saddest verses in all the Bible. I believe Solomon was a believer. And it's what can happen to believers when you get the wrong people. Just imagine he's writing Proverbs 1 to say, who you keep company with affects you. Yeah, who you marry and marry and marry and marry and marry affects you too, right? And he didn't listen. The wisest man ever to live became a fool. We should listen to God. We should listen to this instruction. This is so good. It's so helpful. It's at the heart of what we all want. And the key, I'm going to tell you the key ahead of time. You need to listen to God and do what he says. That's it. I could close in prayer right now if I thought you would listen to that. But the Lord wants me to pound it in your head for another 40 minutes. Okay? He does it. We are just stubborn and we want to do it our way because we like to please men. We like everybody to like us. And that's not a terrible thing. But if it becomes your God, little g, it'll destroy you. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And so he's going to tell us what the purpose is in these next few verses, the word two. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. These are all popular terms today. We get to find out what they mean in the Bible. It's so cool. Verse 4. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb, it's also a purpose. And the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. It's going to be a beautification when you listen to your parents. That's what he's saying. You know, an ornament on your head. It's going to be a nice little, you know, something that makes you look nice and a necklace. And he's just saying this. You listen to your parents and you'll be blessed. Not if they're instructing you to do things ungodly, but generally your parents want good for you. Even unsaved parents, for the most part. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't do it. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk. Man, my eyes are just falling apart. Let us lurk privily or secretly. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Come on, let's do it. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. It's going to be fun when you understand what he's talking about. And they lay wait for their own blood. What? That's going to be fun when you understand it. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. You know, when it begins in verse 10, I'll make sure, if in case I forget that later, the whole point, always trying to get ahead, always trying to find a way to beat the system and find a way to get ahead, whether it's satisfaction or sin, that's always, it's greedy. You sense greed from people. It doesn't always have to be money, but for just anything, just trying to beat the system, red flag, I'd run from them. The only interaction I'd have with them is the gospel. It's who you hang around will affect you. Let me tell you, old men, middle-aged men, young men, you can live for Christ, and if you start hanging around the wrong people, they will affect you terribly. There's no time to let our guard down. And so I'm just telling you this. I can't wait till I die. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm terrified I'm going to be like one of these other old men that blow it. I'm like, oh God, I told him, kill me, don't let it happen. And he's like, you're not the boss, please kill me. I want to finish well. Better men than I have not heeded this kind of instruction, and they thought they were smarter than God, or they thought, that's just for you 20-somethings. 30-somethings. It's for the 40-somethings, the 50-somethings, the soon-to-be 60-somethings, the 70-somethings, the 80-somethings. I don't think I have to go higher. It is God's word is so good. Will we listen? Verse 20. Now, this is interesting. Let me just say verse 20. The Bible, and it's just so fun, in Proverbs, you've got to remember this. It's so important. The Bible gives a personality, a persona to wisdom. And it's a female. I've got a Bible app that there's a woman that does this part. I'm like, oh, that's right. It's a she. Right? And I'm not going to try to imitate that, but verse 20, he says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. It's giving a persona to wisdom, just so you can follow. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, in a beautiful, lovely lady's voice. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And she's basically, how long, ye scorners, will you delight in your scorning? How long, you fools, will you hate knowledge? You follow me? That's just what it's dealing with. I'm not trying to add to Scripture. Don't accuse me of that. I'm just, if you don't read it with that understanding, sometimes it doesn't make sense. But wisdom is crying out. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Wisdom wants to be a part of your life. That's what God's saying. You should be encouraged by that. It doesn't come through gray hair. There's a lot of gray-haired people that are fools. We ought to have more wisdom because experience ought to help us understand, boy, God's right. We had better listen, but so many of us, me included, we just don't listen. It's called foolishness. Verse 24. Wisdom continues to talk. Because I have called and you refuse. See, I have heard this. This is not God. This is wisdom in this perspective, right? Because I have called and you refused. Then help me when I'm finishing because I'll preach this. This is, okay, you didn't listen to wisdom. Consequences. I have to have tough conversations with people, including myself. It's like, well, you blew it for 20 years. I don't have a 20-minute fix. They're probably doomed. You said, you've said that? I did. I said, what you need to do is honor God. Love them, pray for them, care for them. And but you can't change yesterday. The consequences are here. God cares for them more than you do. But you need to focus on following God. Not in order to get your way. You know, I mean, it's sort of like this. Say I smoked cigarettes for 40 years. Get cancer. And I'm like, throw the cigarettes out. Cancer gone. Not really. No, it's not. You understand this? It's consequences, not God punishing us. That's the same way with sin, all sin. What you have to do is say, from this day forward, I will honor God. There's consequences. I want you to understand that when we don't listen to wisdom, and it might take 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 years. See, you think there were no consequences. You think you can get away with it. I know the voices. You young men, you young ladies, you think you're smarter than God. I'm not talking about you in particular, Erica. But I am. No, I'm not. When I sin, Steve, I think I'm smarter than God. And it's really not that big a deal. Do you remember what started everything? They ate the fruit. That's not that big a deal. Oh, yes, it is. You can't imagine what sin does. But here, when we don't listen, okay, verse 24. Because I have called, this is wisdom speaking, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. I was ready to give you wisdom. But you have said it not all my counsel and would come and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. There's nothing can be done. It's too bad, so sad, you're dead. Too late. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Too late. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. And verse 31 is kind of the key to understanding this. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. I'll just pause there real quick. You know, I've said this before from the pulpit. You know, when people say this, oh, they must sow their wild oats. Well, you'll reap them. You'll reap them. I just told a young man yesterday, and I'm very consistent with this, trying to figure out where to go to college. And I said, stay home, go to college locally, serve the Lord, save money. And I said, you'll probably rescue yourself from a boatload of sin. The two places where sin abounds more than any place in America, in my opinion, you may disagree with me, are college campuses and a 3-mile radius around any armed force basis. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine. They'll have all the sin available to you, and on college campuses, you don't have to go 3 miles. They'll have it right there. Some of the most evil, wicked environments that you don't even want to... I'm just telling you, parents, you should not provide 5 cents to send your kids away to the devil's den. I'm just telling you. That's my job. You can disagree with me. And when the consequences come, you can't reverse time. We got to help our children. Help them. And so, verse 31, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Verse 32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But now, it finishes well. Verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth, or listens, whoso hearkeneth unto me, unto wisdom, shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You see how that finishes? It's like this. You want to know what God wants. You want to know what God says is the way to live. You want to know God's instruction. One final thing before I get into this, and you'll probably hear this 42,000 times, before I'm done with the book of Proverbs, and I will interrupt it and we'll go back to Exodus eventually. But I want you to listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Listen to this, and I've done this in recent months. It says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. So we're in Christ Jesus. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. We're in Christ because of the work of the Holy Spirit. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. And it's talking about Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. I never want to get too far away that the wisdom of God is completely embodied in Jesus Christ. It's so critical that if we forget that, you could leave tonight. And I'm just telling you, if you're lost tonight, Proverbs would be good for you. It would help you be a better business person. It would help you be a better employee. It would help you be a better wife. It would help you be a better husband. It would help you be a better son, a better daughter. But you'd go to hell without Christ. I'm not preaching how to have a better life. I'm preaching Jesus Christ, and He is the better life. But it could be the harder life that's better. See, it's about Christ. Wisdom is about Christ. You want wisdom? You need Jesus Christ. Never get too far away from that. You can follow the principles of God's word and you'll benefit temporally this side of heaven, but we need Jesus Christ. Wisdom is in Christ. So not only do I want to know the instruction of the Bible, and I want to know the book of Proverbs is just so good. The younger you are, the better. Old people, and that begins at age 60, and pretty soon that'll start at 65. So all you old people out there, you need it too. But I think every old person, that's 60 and over, I'm not quite there yet. It is every old person, you wish you knew some of these things 40 years ago. God's ways are best. But let me tell you this. Nothing matters but Christ. Nothing matters but Christ. Can I do what I did a while back? I want to take you through, we're going to do a little dance through Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. It's not in my notes, but I'm going to take you here anyway. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. You remember in 1 Corinthians 1:30, and it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. And I think I need to give credit where credit's due. Todd, you're the one that kind of triggered me on this. Am I right about that? Where are you at, Todd? Oh, there you are. Oh, you have to switch seats. That's so good. Make Todd switch seats every single service. It's so good for him. Weren't you the one that we had a conversation I've gone hog wild on it, which I love. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. I want to replace the word wisdom with Christ. Christ is the principal thing. Therefore, get Christ. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Let's just do that. For Christ is better than rubies, and Christ is better than all the things that may be desired and be compared to it. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16, look at that. I never want us to get too far away. You want wisdom. It only comes in Christ, and Christ is the living word, and he's given us his written word. And I tell you this, and I still don't understand why some preachers disagree with this, but I probably should research it more, but I tell you this, this is Christ in black and white print. Jesus is the living word. This is the written word. It's all about Jesus. Proverbs 16:16 says this, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver? How much better is it to get Christ than gold? Problem is, so many people that attend church, they'd rather have gold than Jesus. God's not interested in you being poor. But what we need is Christ. And if God wants me to go through a time of poverty and difficulty, if I have Christ, I have everything that I could ever want. And when I get into heaven because of Christ, he is everything. I'm convinced that's why the Bible doesn't tell us much about heaven, because the Bible does tell us a lot about heaven. It's Jesus. The more we know about Christ, the more we know about heaven. I don't know what Proverbs is bringing out me tonight, but I'm a little fired up tonight. I'm sort of excited, but I'm not mad. Except at Erica. I'm just All right, let's look at chapter 1. Let's look at this. The importance of wisdom and instruction. The importance of wisdom and instruction. Just this one I want to pick on tonight, Erica. Importance of wisdom and instruction. Now, wisdom is knowing and doing what is righteous. Wisdom, knowing and doing what is right, what is righteous. That's all that righteousness is what is right. He says, here's the purpose. I want you to look at this. Look at the purpose. He says, to know wisdom and instruction. The purpose of this book, the purpose of Solomon writing this, and it's God really writing it, but using Solomon, to know wisdom and instruction so that God wants us to have a delightful life. It doesn't mean there's not going to be hardship. God is pro-joy. But it doesn't come apart from wisdom and instruction. So the purpose, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the worlds of understanding, look at verse 3, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity. I don't think I put those. Oh, here's what I did. These are the breakdown of the chapter. That's the breakdown of the chapter that I introduced to you earlier. But the purpose of the book, verses 2, 3, 4, and 6, I want to show you this. Look at verse 4, just purpose, to give subtlety to the simple. Subtlety. Generally, we think of subtlety, that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. It's just, it's another word for wisdom, shrewd. You know, it's to give subtlety to the simple. I don't think we have any Rhodes scholars in here today, but so I think we all could consider ourselves simple people. And so the instruction of God's word can take a simple person and make you dynamic. That's the purpose, is to give subtlety to the simple so that you will, beyond your IQ, beyond your intelligence, you can wield things that are amazing, because when we follow God and do things His way, you look like a genius. It's not our objective of how we look, but, you know, you can be super simple. You know, like, duh, I don't know what's going on. But you listen to God, He'll give you wisdom. That's the beautiful thing. You've got to be excited about that. We're in this comparison culture. Well, everybody's smarter than me. Everybody's this than me. Everybody's this than me. Well, get a hold of something God says, and He'll give you wisdom. Isn't that good? I love it. So that's one of the purposes, is to give subtlety, verse 4, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Discretion, knowing what to do, when to do it, what not to do, and when not to do it. It's knowing, just, that's good. This is going to help us. You know, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Longest months of the year have 31 days. You read one chapter a day, it'd be good for you. I mean, you want wisdom, it's just a great book. Let's look also at verse 6, more purpose. To understand a proverb is to help us understand, and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. All it means is dark sayings. It's deep. This is to help us understand some deep things of God. You're going to find, what's beautiful is Proverbs was written, I'm rounding, about 3,000 years ago. And so it is, it's just as true as though it was written last night. It's amazing. That's because God's word's eternal, and it isn't dated. It's not like, well, that used to mean something, right? I mean, no, it still means something today. And so did I put this in here? I didn't. Okay. I want you to look at verse 3. This is, I wish I meant to, didn't. Look at verse 3. I want to parse these words out. Verse 3. He says, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. So I particularly, wisdom is knowing what is right and doing it. Wisdom is knowing what's right and doing it. I can use so many different descriptions. Justice is what is right. Justice is what is right. Judgment is action based on what is right. Okay, you could say that's somewhat interchangeable with wisdom. And equity is the impartial distribution of what is right. I don't use the word fairness. I don't even know what that means when it comes to God. But let me tell you this, God will equitably distribute justice perfectly. Impartially, specifically, God believes in equity. And what that means is, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God will dispense justice perfectly and equitably to everybody. Oh yes, Hitler will have a worse damnation than most. He executed evil more than most. But let's not worry about Hitler. I think we need to understand where we stand before God. I want you to look at verse 5. It's the simple thing I told you. A wise man will hear. Listen up. You're going to listen to God. Most people I talk to don't. Most people that go to church don't as well. We think going to church is the key, checking the box, because God's a moron. All you need to do is just do a couple religious things and you fool the guy upstairs. He's such a dummy. We have no idea the brilliance of God. But I'll tell you this, what is greater is his love. He loves people that think he's dumb. Isn't that amazing? He's not up there and you're throwing a hissy fit. We need to understand who God is. Listen up, he says, look at verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. I don't know how your life's going. Life not going well? Had somebody come to me and they were telling me about their life, and they said, you know, my life's horrible. And I said, I'm encouraged. And they're like, what? I said, you're not doing anything that God's told you to do, so I would expect your life to be horrible. So praise the Lord. And I'm glad it's bothering you. Now let's do what's right. If you're not going to do what's right, it horrible may not happen overnight. And that's where I get in trouble. People are like, huh, this rat poison pretty good. Next day, it's really good. Now, rat poison will kill you fast, but it's like this sin, you taste it and you're like, huh, I didn't get shocked. You're like, 10 years down the road, you may find out you should have listened. Listen, listen to God, listen to God. How do you hear from God? His word. So many people today, they're like this. They don't know the Bible. They couldn't tell me the Bible, but they're like, God spoke to me. Well, he did not. Right? He spoke to less than 40 people in the Bible, and you're number 41? I don't think so. I have a good time with people. They're like, nobody ever said that to me. Right? He didn't talk to you. Now, he can put things on your heart, but how do you know if it's God that put it on your heart? The Bible. Right? But every time somebody says, God spoke to me, I'm like, ain't no way he told you that. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Like, well, God wouldn't tell you that. No, but boy, people, they listen to instruction. Don't listen to your feelings. Don't listen to your, I had this, God spoke to me. That is the world we're in. We want a special thing. We're pizzazz. No, how about this? Just obedience. Just know what, how about just doing what God says, and then you'll watch this. God's amazing. He loves it. He loves it. And he is an amazing God. He is an amazing God that is just, he gives you everything you would want. It doesn't mean there won't be difficulty, but you're going to see that. You're going to see that. We're going to get there in just a second. So you must listen. And let me tell you this. I didn't put this. Subpoint, look at verse 8 and 9. Listen to your parents. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. When you do that, it'll be an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck. Let me tell you, you want to be foolish, you don't listen to your parents. I'm sure there's bad parents in here. And my dad's passed away, my wife's dad's passed away, so we don't have the benefit of hearing from them again. But it is... you need to listen to your mom and dad. They are imperfect. Did you know that? Oh. Go ahead and tell me a little bit about it. All right, we're going to meet, Zach and Lauren. I've got marital counsel for you after the service, because look where Zach's at, look where Lauren's at. Those things concern me. I will never highlight those, just so you know, if that's happening, I won't bring attention to it. But it is... listen to your mom and dad, imperfect as they are. They're a blessing of God. Lost parents care for their kids. They just don't know how to care for their kids eternally. Don, you loved your kids. You gave them a lot of good instruction before you were saved, I think, right? I think they would have benefited from listening to you. Just not spiritually, but you really weren't given a lot of advice spiritually. You were indirectly. But you loved your kids the best a lost man could, right? Jeff? Try to love your kids. I know. When I highlight that, you're like, you can't dwell on what could have been if you had been saved, right? But you loved your kids, didn't you? Would they have benefited if they listened to you? Did they? Half the time? We got 70%, 70%, you think? 70%? Mallory? Listen to your mom and dad. Alex? You aren't beyond them. right? You aren't beyond them. My kids are in their 30s now. They got a little instruction from me. And I you know, got to do it in, like, you know, syringe doses. And but it's good. Take advantage of the blessings God's given you. Listen to God. Listen to your parents. And grow from it. We are in a society, and this could happen with Proverbs. We are in a society where I meet this with so many people. I do not know what's going on. It's sort of Romans 1. I'm not going to go there right now, but it's like people are just like, no! What in the world? No. I didn't say anything controversial. And you disagree with that? People just disagree to disagree to disagree to disagree to disagree. Is that you? You need to ask God to change your heart and turn to the Lord. Nobody's going to like you. We are in this world. I need it. People are like, I'll never be happy. Mm-hmm. I promise. I'll try. I'm not going to be happy. You can't make me smile. I don't know if I want to. Right? We just so disagreeable. Oh, Christian, we ought not to be difficult. You follow me? It's crazy. Listen to God. Now, verse 7, and this may be I'm on a kick just personally. I so want to better the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I want to understand the fear of the Lord. I want to communicate to you the fear of the Lord. And so I'm going to look at some verses with fear of the Lord, and then this is probably the last thing I'll do tonight. The fear of the Lord is clean. Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean. So before you conclude what the fear of the Lord is, just know this. Whatever it is, it's clean. Clean things good, Clay. It's good. It's good. It's clean. The fear of the Lord is clean. Now, here we are. Look at this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We just learned in Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's good. So we're talking about wisdom, the fear of the Lord. I'm just telling you this. You should want the fear of the Lord. You should want the fear of the Lord. You should want the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord's good. Fear of the Lord's good. It's clean. It's the beginning of wisdom. Oh, let's look at this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. And the Lord then adds, in the froward mouth do I hate. But the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. So the fear of the Lord, it's clean. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to hate sin. Oh, that's good. You should want the fear of the Lord. You should want the fear of the Lord. You should want the fear of the Lord. So let's not think of the fear of the Lord bad. Let's just keep going through the Bible. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. I'm the only one here looking forward to dying. I think some others, you know, how are you going to die? You know, I know Christians, free to live as Christ and to die as gain. So you guys are there with me. I'm just kidding when I'm the only one. But it's like this, you know, just humanly speaking, would you like to live longer, Rachel? I know your kids, they're so rough, aren't they? And to be with the Lord is fantastic. But I think it's good. I'd like prolonged days. Would you like prolonged days? The fear of the Lord. Now, this is all positive, is it not? Let's make sure we understand the fear of the Lord. This is a good thing. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. What? So many people are, I don't know, man, I don't know. It's the fear of the Lord, there's strong confidence. The fear of the Lord, there's strong confidence. Okay, we're just learning some things. And it says here, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Whoa. Whoa. Q, did you work out this week? You did. How many times? Once? Twice. I can tell, man. It's like, I thought a little soft tonight. But it's this. You know what's better than working out? Fear of the Lord. I mean, you got it right, too. God's better than working out, too, right? So I'd be like, man, that'd be like, oh, no, don't do that. But the fear of the Lord is better than working out. Is working out good? I mean, one day you might be like me. But it's, you're like, that's what I'm trying to avoid. But the fear of the Lord is better. It's the fountain of life. Because I know this. You want to work out, right? And I think God wants us to be strong, physically, spiritually, right? Their bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. But let me tell you this. The fear of the Lord is better than any vitamin supplements you can have. Exercise program, I'm not against all those, nor is God. I think we ought to take care of the body that he's given us. But I'll tell you this, the fear of the Lord will be the best health plan you could ever have. I didn't say you ought to be irresponsible with your body. Fear of the Lord is better than all that. You know? Take your vitamins. Fear of the Lord is better. It's clean. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's to hate evil. It's going to prolong our days. Boy, fear of the Lord, pretty good thing, right? Well, let's just keep going. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. So we're kind of, goodness, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. What the fear of the Lord does, the fear of the Lord helps me to know what the right thing to do is. Follow me? Follow me? The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. This is a good thing. People are always like, I don't know what to do. Well, seek God. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. I'm not feeling any negative with the fear of the Lord, are you? Fear of the Lord is good. Let's continue. It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Iniquity is just a kind of a direct rebellion. But by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Oh, fear of the Lord. Let me tell you, you're having a sin problem. You're struggling with that besetting sin. Over and over and over again, you need the fear of the Lord. You need the fear of the Lord. That's what you need. That's what I need. Old men, young men, middle men, that's what we need. The fear of the Lord will cause us to depart from evil. You know this? When I sin, I didn't have the fear of the Lord. Yes? Because if I have the fear of the Lord, I'm out of here. Right? That's what the Bible says. Right? Oh, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Hey, that's good. Kind of a little bit, but it says, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. What? God's not anti-riches. It's really not something that he promotes pursuing, but what he would promote pursuing is the fear of the Lord. And if you have the fear of the Lord and he can trust you with money, he'll give you money to give away. Not just talking about to churches. I'm talking to for his kingdom. You want riches and honor and life? Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I want to show you here. Here's what I'm convinced of, and I'm going to give you a definition, then I'm going to be finished. This is Proverbs chapter 4, verse, I said 20, 21. I cut 20 off the slide, but I said this. This is the definition of faith. It said that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God because here's what faith is. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. I'm going to tell you this. You know what I believe fear of the Lord is? I'll just give you my little definition here. The fear of the Lord is respecting God so much that we take his commandments seriously, we listen and obey. That's the fear of the Lord. You see my little simple definition? I want to explain the fear of the Lord. It's one of the things that people trash all the time. Oh, yeah, well, I don't have a God that I'm afraid of. It's not like Friday the 13th fear. The fear of the Lord is the best thing I could have after I'm saved. It's good, you could even before you're saved, because it should lead you to understand you need Christ. This is my definition of fear of the Lord, respecting God so much that we take his commandments seriously, we listen and obey. That we would be so fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. What God tells us in the Bible, what God tells us, hey, don't do this. You're going to be blown away if you don't know the book of Proverbs. It deals with the nitty-gritty on things, and you're going to be like squirming at times. Because it's going to deal with you right in your heart, and you're like, oh, wow. God knows men, God knows women, and God knows the heart when we don't fear the Lord. Let me help you here. I know. Well, this is okay. I really thought I was going to get through chapter 1, but I've been off since I've been back from vacation on how much I can cover. I missed it on Sunday morning, and I missed it tonight. So I got through my first point. Missed it. But here is, I'll go back because I'll show my second point so you can see the first point, but I'm not going into the second point. My first point is the importance of wisdom and instruction. You know how good God is? He didn't leave us to our own. Isn't that good? He said, I'm going to tell you how you can have life abundantly. I'm going to tell you how you can enjoy me. I'm going to tell you how you can navigate through this messed up world. I'm going to tell you. All you need to do is listen and obey. It's just good, isn't it? We make it so difficult. Make it so difficult. Right? It is, you can't imagine, so many of you deal with people, and I love people. You know this? Let me tell you this. When you're caught by the consequences of sin, what should you do? Turn to the Lord and trust him, not to fix your consequences, but so that you can honor him from that point on, right? That's it. Just start obeying him right away. And anybody that's a Christian for long enough, you'll deal with people and they're like, they're so brokenhearted when the consequences come. Angel, listen to God now. Front row scholars, listen to God now. Listen to God now. You'll never regret listening to God. I have one regret in my life. One regret in my life. If either of you two get it, special prize for you. One regret in my life. What do you think it is? Oh, man, I'm glad I didn't put a price on that. I owe Vincent a super nice prize. Get a piece of bubble gum for you to be better than a piece of bubble gum. Two pieces. I regret sin. You know what sin is? Not listening to God. I've been a Christian for a long time, guys. I've sinned more since I've been a Christian than before I was a Christian. That's shameful. You know why I've done that? I didn't believe that what God had said he would do. God's been super good to me. He's not up there just trying to zap you and whack you. He's not. The reason he gives us this instruction is so that we can enjoy him. He's not doing it to make you miserable. I promise you. Every Christian in here would agree with me. All that we regret is sin. God's good. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. He gave us a book full of instruction, full of details that are just delightful. How to live, how to enjoy life, but never apart from God. Let's pray.